Good morning, church. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. So as some of you know, I'm used to speaking to fourth graders, and occasionally I do have adults in my classroom for open house, star night, all that good stuff. But I have to say, I'm honored and very excited to do this. So I pray that you join in that excitement with me. So in our reading today, Jeremiah is writing a letter to the first wave of exiles deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. The theme of the letter is dusted with ambiguity about the future due to false prophets among the exiles that have predicted the doom of Babylon, thereby fueling visions of a speedy return to Jerusalem. Now, Jeremiah, the true prophet and the mouthpiece of God, is advising them to stop expecting an early return home. But he urges them to rather find joy in Babylon by settling and preparing for future generations. So as we prepare to read our scriptures, please bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as these scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Today's scripture is from Jeremiah 29, verses 1 and 4 through 11. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests and the prophets and all the people who Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the dividers who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to your dreams that you dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So when my husband Ray and I were first looking for our together home, we had our list of needs and, of course, our wants. 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, a 2-car garage, dare either of us park outside, an eating kitchen, and hopefully a porch with a flat yard. If you know my mom, you know why I wanted a porch. Oh, and did I mention that as two educators, we were on a pretty tight budget and were naive in anticipating that it might be a quick process. After months of searching in Upper St. Clair, we began to feel frustrated. Ray and I weren't finding the house that felt like a home. We visited many houses, but they just weren't the right fit for us. Ray and I were beginning to feel hopeless and starting to wonder if Upper St. Clair was the right place for us. Then, one day, our real estate agent showed us a home that we, or maybe I dare say I, and then he, instantly fell in love with. As I entered, I could envision introducing our dog, Oscar, to the new space. I could picture hosting and cooking for upcoming holidays in our kitchen, reading books by the fire, watching sports in the living room, and even relaxing on the back patio. It had what we thought were all the things that make the memories. So shortly thereafter, we made an offer, and it was ironically accepted on Christmas Eve. It wasn't until about 2 years later when we first brought our daughter Kayla home from the hospital that I truly realized that this was our home for the present and the future. As she napped in her nursery, explored eating for the first time in our kitchen, and toddled across the living room floor, it was rewarding to know that we had created a safe space where we together could live, eat, and find joy as a family in creating lifelong memories. When I read our scripture in preparation for today's sermon, I imagined Jeremiah encouraging the exiles to do the same. He's advising them to find joy in their new home, Babylon. He guides them to put down roots, build houses, plant gardens, and have families. He wills them to live, to eat, and to multiply. These are each specific actions that mirror the desire to find joy in living their lives with their new home of Babylon. At this point, Jeremiah really hit home to me and reminded me of how I felt joy alongside my young family in our home. But let me be the first to tell you, in case you do not, Jeremiah's directive would be a shocker to Israelite people coming from him. He was known as the weeping prophet, for always lamenting and complaining and admonishing about how bad it was or the failures of leaders. For him to speak of a future stirred them to hope, to act, and to live. Additionally, Jeremiah encourages the exiles to reach beyond themselves to pray for and seek the welfare of their new city, Babylon. He advises them that within this shared welfare, they too will find their own welfare. He promises them a future with hope, hope that requires them to look beyond the tensions and fears to bring about day by day the reality that they hope for. So as we aged, Ray and I began to see beyond our core family and soon started to realize the value that lies within community. We felt that we needed a church family to be a part of our lives. We were missing the joy that comes from shared practices and nourishing our faith. We knew that joy came not from surface conversations or fleeting hellos. Rather, we sought to build enduring relationships that would hold us and hold others in times of adversity. So, just like probably many of you at one point in time, we began church shopping. And nothing felt quite right for us, similar to all of those houses that we had earlier visited when looking for a home. It wasn't until I randomly threw a post on Facebook looking for somewhere to attend on Christmas Eve that we received an open invite and literally a saved seat by a very connected music director that we decided to visit Westminster for our Christmas Eve service. That's Chris Hestwood, in case you didn't know. The service was all that we could imagine, and it just felt right. I don't know how else to describe that. It just felt right for both of us. Just then, as Mary picked up baby Jesus, my toddler Kayla stood on her tippy toes, reached out and yelled, "Mama, it's baby Jesus!" What felt like, to me, the entire sanctuary laughed and welcomed my toddler's innocence with a warmth that I had never felt anywhere before. This was the moment that Westminster became our forever church home. 14 years later, Westminster continues to be where my family lives out our faith life, just as Jeremiah encouraged the exiles to build homes and live in them. Whether it's through the offerings of the church, such as weekly services, Lyft, Jam, Veritas, retreats, mission work, Wednesday dinners, commission work, or myself being an elder, we are each growing our faith within this community. But living in this church, just as Jeremiah implored the exiles to live in Babylon, has brought us so much more. It was the people of Westminster, all of you, that showed up when my dad died with grief groceries. You fed my family. You wept alongside us. I want to be there for you as you surrounded me. You've allowed me the privilege to be with you when illness strikes, a relationship failed, or any other unimaginable personal crisis. Living in this church brings my family and hopefully you great joy. It's the joy that's felt amongst the children at Wednesday night programming as they ask those faithful questions that I was once too scared to ask. It's the joy that I experience as we teach our youth about God's enduring love alongside some of my dearest friends. It's also the joy that we feel as we gather for Lyft to support each other and strengthen our faith collectively. And I know that all of this is possible because we embody a love from Jesus that offers grace, that pushes us to look beyond the surface and to take risks in loving strangers. The friendships that we have established within these walls are relationships that are tightened through the Holy Spirit. Having our faith at the core of any relationship instantly makes it all the more joyous. Westminster's congregation, just like the exiles of Babylon, is regularly seeking the welfare of one another, but also beyond. Through our congregation's work with shut-ins, Chartier's Bend, extended communion, mission work locally and around the world, we are vested in the welfare of others. Just as Jeremiah warned the exiles, Westminster too has had its moments of ambiguity. Despite them, we continue to live in daily hope. In the last 5 years, the congregation has paid down debt at the same time while investing in ministry. Our church survived the season of COVID and changes in leadership. We've also weathered both personal and communal crisis. But through it all, we have been a community that has rallied and continued to find joy in living our life of faith together. Our congregational life continues to flourish and thrive. Like the exiles of Babylon, Westminster will be here to celebrate the union of marriage for all spouses and future baptisms of children of God for many generations to come. It's through these practices that we continue to grow our church and strengthen God's church for the future. Oh, and that little girl who delighted in seeing the baby Jesus on Christmas Eve, well, this community of faith helped us to baptize her alongside her father, teach her how to love and be loved, how to forgive and how to give. You helped us teach her the stories of scripture and songs and barefoot school that I still can't get out of my head. The importance of mission work. Because of this, Kayla now teaches the kids herself when she comes to the bridge on Sundays. She witnesses her faith so that the little ones learn. So, if Jeremiah were writing a letter to us today, what do you think he would be encouraging us to do as a church? I believe he would be encouraging us to continue building, continue living, continue eating. I mean, who doesn't like to eat, especially on Wednesday nights? And to continue celebrating and strengthening Westminster to make it the best it can be for God's church. I also believe that he would be encouraging us to find joy in the process, to find joy in what we have created, what we are, and what we can be for future generations. So if Jeremiah were writing a letter to you today? What do you think he would be encouraging you to do? How would he be guiding you to live in your life of faith within Westminster? How would he be inviting you to eat alongside your fellow congregants? How would he be compelling you to engage in strengthening the capability of Westminster being able to care for the faithful for generations to come? What is your role in this community, and how can you be a part